appears that another handful of predictions that we made on this program have, well, they've come true.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
So yesterday, as I'm finishing up the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder, I come out of my little office and studio, and I head to our living room here in our little house, and I'm looking at the TV, and I'm seeing some of the news headlines, and my wife tells me that a couple of things have happened today. Number one, we surpassed the 500,000 coronavirus deaths. Well, we knew that was going to happen because around election time, that's the number that President now Biden, presidential candidate Biden, predicted. And so, of course, those numbers are going to have to come together. But then again, another story happened. And let's go back to the summertime. And look, I'm not some kind of a prophet here. This is just common sense. You know, you got to put away all the noise. We talked about this yesterday. This was the whole theme of yesterday's program. Trying to find truth in a world full of lies. A media that lies. We've been lied to, manipulated, abused. We've just been taken advantage of by those in political power. And honestly, I don't trust most people today in our federal government. I don't trust a lot of them in a number of state governments. And even some locals give me some real pause. I mean, really. When you tell me, you know, that we have a justice system, I disagree vehemently. We have a legal system. We've lost the idea of justice in this country ages ago. There are two sets of justice, maybe three. You know, if you're one of the elites, you have one. If you defy the elites, well, then you get treated like the common man. You know, you're no longer protected. Hunter Biden has been protected for what? Going on a year and a half, 2 years. You know, it doesn't matter that he made millions with no experience in the Ukraine using his daddy's influence when he was the vice president. That doesn't matter. Where's the Durham report, for crying out loud? Is it going to get buried like everything else? Have we been led down a path like a bunch of fools? Yeah, we're never going to find truth, I don't think, anymore much. We're in an age of lies. We are in an age of lies. The spirit of Antichrist has worked its way into our governments, into certain political parties, and the powers that rule, even at the corporate level. I mean, I don't say this stuff loosely. I'm not trying to throw it out there for dramatic effect. It's just what it is. And I'm not trying to sell you a DVD or a book to figure it out. I'm just giving it to you for free, right here on the program Truth to Ponder. I was not surprised by the Supreme Court deciding not to hear a bunch of cases regarding the election. You know, the idea that, well, it really wouldn't overturn the results is not a good excuse. In Pennsylvania and other states, they broke their own law. They should be slammed down. Slammed down. Where they can never do that again. Ever. But no, they chose not to do it. I think they're just afraid. They're afraid if the truth really came out, they're afraid of the riots. They're scared for their own lives. And so we no longer have a Supreme Court that gives us justice. It's more the same garbage and crap. Justice Roberts, a stealth, what do you call him? He's a stealth establishment creature. He's proven it. You know, Bush the second. Bush 43 gave us this retrobate, and he's in charge of the Supreme Court. He's been a disappointment and a failure, a moral and intellectual failure on the court. And we as a society are going to pay a price. But then again, I told you, you know, don't count on Trump winning. I don't care what the polls say. I don't care what your feeling says. I don't care what reality says. It's rigged. They're going to get rid of them. I believe in Georgia there was enough cheating that should put the governor and the secretary of state in prison, but it's never going to happen. It happened in Michigan, it happened in Wisconsin, it happened in Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court has showed their true colors. We, pardon my French, don't give a damn about justice anymore. We are the supreme legislators. Sorry to be so angry about it, but I just need to make it clear that we're living in an age of lies. And then the other story that you saw, well, you know, you saw this coming when Biden said there'll be 500,000 dead by the end of February. What's a week from yesterday? March 1st. No, we had to get it done this week. We had to cross that number just before the end of February. Now, we'll talk about this in a minute. Will those numbers start to drop? You bet they will. I have a prediction. I'm going to make another prediction. I was right about don't trust the election, don't trust the courts, don't trust the Supreme Court, don't trust the Justice Department. We don't have one anymore. We destroyed the Justice Department. It was co-opted years ago. We don't have a Justice Department anymore. They're gone. They're the enforcers of all things swamp, period. So the Durham report will be a disappointment. It's all going to be a disappointment. I told you, don't put your hopes up. Don't trust princes. Put your faith in God. Stop thinking the ballot box is your salvation. I've been telling you that since the very beginning. And here we are. 500,000 people dead from corona. Now, we already know the cases are going down, and we know why, because they've changed the testing requirements and what qualifies as a case. If we go back to March 24th of last year and readopt those standards, watch the death numbers drop like a rock, too. So, my guest today, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, do you believe for a moment that the coronavirus all by itself killed 500,000 people in the United States?
Yeah, cases are dropping, masks are doubling. You know, we live in this
tripling.
World of we live in this world of contradiction that is unbelievable, of disassociation, I just call it now, because people don't know what to believe. So they're just, you know, when you're at this place, the high lows, okay, they lift you up, then they pull you down. Then they lift you up, they pull you down. That is classical abuse, psychologically. That's classical abuse. You give them hope, you take it away. You give them a little more hope, you take it away.
It goes back to that wonderful play many, many years ago where we get the term gaslighting, you know, where this poor lady is thinking she's going insane. You know, but he keeps trying to build up her confidence, but then all of a sudden the rug keeps getting pulled out as she thinks she's going crazy.
Right. Well, here's something else to think about, and I can give you the statistic here. It's very hard to really believe this, but 2/3 of the U.S. are favorably inclined to the pharmaceutical industry. That is up 30 percent points since January 2020, a year ago. How did it go up when we see this hoax, when we see this constant barrage of lies and distortions and censorship, and yet it went up? You want to know why? There's your gaslighting.
Absolutely.
When I don't know what to do, I'm just going to go with the experts.
Amen. Amen. This whole thing, once again, it goes back. I'm going to be honest. Had I not worked, well, I'm always a skeptic, but I would not have been near the skeptic that I am today about the virus had I not worked in emergency management and watched the goalpost being ripped out in the middle of the night and moved. Mm-hmm. So wait a minute. You're telling us one thing today, then something different tomorrow. You had us make all these plans, and I mean, in just my agency that I was working for those months, we spent $8 million of money. $8 million, you know, with an M, you know, not $800,000, $8 million prepping for all these incredible number of cases and people dropping dead by the thousands in a matter of four months, maybe five at the top. So that was what we were told. And of course, none of it ever panned out. And then you're right. It's the up and down, the up and down. And so what does that do when you give all these hopes and false hopes and knock the rug out? What does that ultimately do? Because you have a good background in this. What is that going to do to somebody's mental state?
Well, it's going to keep them off balance, right? And people want to find a baseline somewhere. That way they have some sort of stability. So they're going to go with the narrative. They're going to go with what the expert says. You're going to hear experts, you're going to hear scientists, and you're going to hear the CDC is the gold standard. And who am I, right? So my mind might be saying, well, at first they told me no masks. Then they told me one mask, then two, now three.
And a bandana would work too.
Pull the pantyhose up over my face and don't worry about your nose because we got anal swabs now. Okay. You know, we're still going to go with this? This is clearly. And again, I always want to bring in the fact that science and spirituality are not separate. Nothing is separate from spirituality in this world. Nothing. Okay, so you are seeing a spiritual aspect to these so-called scientists, and it is an occult ritual. It really is, of humiliation, the pantyhose, the anal swabs, you name it. I mean, I hate to say it, but these things are horrifyingly humiliating, and they're keeping you off balance. They're doing psychological abuse on you by moving the goalposts, as you would say. And they're humiliating us in a ritual. And what is this ritual? I could go to, what is it, Abu Ghraib, the prison where the terrorists are. And what do they have? They have face masks on. The same as we do. They put that on there. Why? It's a submission.
And this is long before the virus was ever heard of. This has been around 2 and 3 years.
Yes. Long before, because it's a humiliation to it. It is to humble you and humiliate you. So we see a massive occult ritual going on in the world. And that brings something up. Do you think maybe the world has entered a darker time? Do you think maybe Antichrist, it's his season now?
He's
at the door.
The spirit of Antichrist has always been here. And I think what we've done, and I really have prayed about this. When we look at where we as a Western culture, forget the United States or any particular country, we'll just say the Western culture since the time of, quote, coming into our modern age of technology and all the blessings that we've really had overall, we've had more good times than bad. We've had more successes than failures over the centuries. But we got to a point of arrogance, and I think we've crossed a line, and it started. I mean, in my lifetime, I think I consider there's a line in the sand, and it's called Earth Day 1970. And maybe you'll agree with this or not, but I think Earth Day 1970, we drew a line in the sand, and we're going to cross this line where we, even those that are considering themselves Christians, worship less the creator and started worshiping the creation at that point. And I call Earth Day April of 1970. I was there to watch the event. And as a young little reporterette, you know, reporter guy with my little tape recorder, I covered it. And I remember everything that they said to this day. All of it never came true. But we started worshiping the earth more than ever before. And we started ingraining that into our children. And so we now have all the couple of generations later, indoctrinated kids that are afraid the earth is in a lurch and it's all going to come crashing down in 9 years now because we didn't save it. And because we didn't save it, we're all going to die and we're all going to freeze. We're all going to burn to death or freeze to death because now they can't decide what it is. But I believe at that point, as our schools have taken that on as their mantra, as churches have adapted to that and tossed out the gospel, as people are so afraid of their own human immortal life, you know, quote that scripture. You do it every time about body and soul, and tell us again.
Right. Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast body and soul into hell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, you're right. We've seen the age of Aquarius dawn, right? And that was in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And
1969.
When you're focusing on the earth, You're worshiping the creation more than the creator, Romans 1. But at the same time, it's a form of pantheism, which is just paganism revived in the Green New Deal, paganism revived in all of the green theology, I call it. It's really ideology out there. But here's what you have, okay? You've got this worship of this pantheistic earth. We've got to take care of Mother Earth. All right, so let me ask you a question, because I was lecturing one time about this pantheism, and I said, my problem with pantheism, with taking care of Mother Earth, is I have no answer to pollution. And somebody said to me, what are you talking about? Pollution destroys the Earth, and you need to not do it if the Earth is Mother Earth. So I sat there at the podium. I took a couple pieces of paper, crumpled them up in my hand, and an empty can of soda, and I threw them on the floor. And I said, what's wrong with that? I'm just uniting God with God. If everything's God, I'm just uniting God with God. You see, you have no answer for pollution if everything is God.
Mm-hmm. If everything from the earth is of God, yeah.
Well, if it is God, pantheistic, if everything's divine, everything, trees, rocks, cans, paper, then I have no answer to pollution, do I? Because it's a false view, all right? And that's the problem. They don't think it through. And we're living in a time now where we are now going to be responsible. They're actually, you know, the Vatican calls it sin if you pollute the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hurt the earth. We want to be responsible stewards.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm not calling it Mother Earth, Gaia. I'm not going to look at the Pachamama God that the Vatican is looking at.
The fact
is the earth is a creation, and we have a created order because we have a creator. And he is separate from that earth, because it's a creation, and we are told to be stewards over it.
Absolutely.
And
have dominion over it, according to the word of God from the beginning of Genesis.
Sure. And dominion doesn't mean abuse. And that's the problem, right? And so people think, well, dominion, that's just cruel, that's abusive. No, it's not. It's keeping order. So we're talking now about an order that God had created for us in this world. And at the same time, for many shows now, we've been talking about how Satan has been inverting that created order.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In every aspect.
You know, when you go back, and I know you've studied this, I've studied it, and in recent years, it has become incredibly apparent, is the only words that I can find, incredibly apparent. I can remember taking some theology courses way back, you know, a long time ago in college, because I went to a school that happened to require it. And the whole concept of what religion is and the relationship to a God, a deity, you know, this is just the broad term religion. You know what I mean by that? And we were talking about Christianity differs from virtually every other religion in the world in a number of ways. It is unique. Number one, it is God coming to man, not man trying to achieve godhood, and the other religions trying to appease a god and give to that god a sacrifice in order to inherit. And when I say sacrifice, I'm talking, like, you know, giving your firstborn child to be burned to death so you can have prosperity, which is Moloch worship. And all these ancient rituals, as you're talking about, whether it be shaming, whether it be, you know, killing children in sacrifice to appease an angry, you know, God from, you know, sending judgment upon you. There's a difference between the Judaic methodology of laying your sins upon another, like an animal, or and having a sacrifice, instead of us taking our kids and having them sacrificed.
There's
a big difference, you know, and in from the Old Testament. And then Jesus becomes the Lamb of God. All of our sins are heaped upon him, and he pays the price by dying. I get it. And no other religion does that. They're all trying to forever, you know, either attain God status, or we can be like God, or we can be gods ourselves, or or, you know, we will get prosperity by doing these just horrible things to other people, including our own children. That is what appeases their God. And when you look at today's wokeness religions, they don't even know, they may claim they're atheist, but they're still practicing pagan ritual.
Absolutely. So in the past, especially the Old Testament, man is always striving to reach God. He's, he's building his towers, his ladders, his systems, whatever it is, in order to reach God. Now, we know God came to us. He came to earth. We're not, you know, to us. He humbled himself and became a man. But in the Old Testament, we see the Tower of Babel, and that word Babel means confusion. And so they were trying to reach God, become God in essence, and God scattered them and changed their languages. Go fast forward now to today. Start, look in the book of Revelation, and we have what we call mystery what? Babylon.
Yes.
The great. The mother of harlots, right? Now we've got mystery Babylon the great in the world, the mother of harlots, confusion, sin, and man without God trying to become God.
You know,
we
you,
see that in the system.
I want you to address something that just came across my mind, and I'm thinking of people that I have met, that I know of, some that I've seen on Facebook, you know, back in the days that I'm spending a lot of time there. A lot of people that claim to be followers of Christ, they want to be dedicated to their faith. They practice all the ritual of their faith. Now, you caught that word, I hope, the ritual of their faith, the mandates of their faith, you know, the attendance, the certain obligations they feel they must make. Yet they still live in this world of fear deep down inside. They're still afraid of a lot of things. And it's not the things they should be afraid of. They are deathly afraid of things like the coronavirus. And they were willing to stay away from church for week after week, month after month, even though the numbers were not coming up like we were told back early on as a bishop and having to make decisions and talk to clergy. And they would say, well, do we close our churches? I said, well, number one, for the moment, this is early on now. This is in the first days. I said, what is your health department saying at this point in time? You know, I'm just trying to be practical about this to a degree. But there comes a point when you begin to understand what you're up against, and now it's time to make a plan and work around it. Does that make any sense? You don't just stay there locked out forever because some bureaucrat that probably hates the name of Christ wants the churches closed more than the bars and anything else. So you got to come to a certain realization. So early on, it didn't bother me that some churches temporarily closed until we got an assessment and they did their Zoom thing. But I said, don't ever get into the habit that this is what you want to do, because this is not natural in the order that Christ gave us for his church. But now I'm seeing, you know, and no offense to those that are Roman Catholic, I see some of these Catholic priests wearing double and triple face masks. They got their gloves and face shields on as they're trying to do communion. And there's just something that's telling me this is just not right. There's something wrong with this. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. So the Bible says don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Zoom is not meeting together.
No.
I'm sorry. You know, we are social beings, not social media beings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
We don't go through the electronics.
Boy, remind me of that in the next half hour when we, you know, in a moment, because that's the other area that I just looked at my notes here. We need to talk about too. So, but don't hold on to that thought, but get back to what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, in the very beginning, we did say we were going to pull back and we were going to just kind of observe and do the right thing by keeping people safe. But once we realized this was being dragged out, lies and so forth, now it's time to say, you know what? No, the government does not rule us. Mm-hmm. We are the church and we need to start meeting together as we did before.
Well, look what happened in France.
Those who are afraid don't come if you're that scared. But we got to trust the Lord at some point.
I think you saw the same story that I did. I'm glad you're mentioning that because there's a situation that came out of France where I'm trying to remember which official it was, but there were some people regarding the church and as far as what they should be doing. And this government official is just bent out of shape and horrified. How dare a church say that the word and law of God is superior to the law of men? I mean, they're just flabbergasted. You know, what do you mean that your law is greater than the law of France?
Right. Well, for crying out loud, you're talking about France, the French Revolution.
Yeah.
They threw God out a long time ago.
Absolutely.
You know, humanism. So here's what I say. We are in the process of fighting a spiritual battle against organized naturalism, which is humanism. Organized, and I use that term purposely, organized naturalism from every area, and it is waging a war, and there will be no quarter given to us. None.
When we get back in just a couple of moments, I'm going to change gears. We had a lot to talk about in these days this week, as many episodes as I can get you on board. And there's so much that you and I share, and a lot of people don't understand that this, we don't just get together once a week and hop into this conversation. We've kind of talked to each other. There's so many things, trying to sort them out, trying to stay ahead and not make a mistake. It's not easy. I'm very cautious. I know Tim is too on a lot of topics. Yet we also feel the urgency to get this information to you. And we hope that you'll pass it along to others. I can't even begin to thank the people that I spent some time over the weekend writing some emails. And a couple of letters that went out physically. Other letters went out last week. And I just can't begin to thank those of you that are contacting the program, supporting it, making it possible. You know, thanks to the audience we have, we're going to make it just fine this month and into next. And the big prayer is, do we expand it to other stations? Remember, this is not a jobs effort for me to be employed. I don't need it. I am retired from my secular work, and I give my time willingly, and I'm just proud that I just feel wonderful that God considers me worthy to even do this program. And so I want to thank those of you that support it. Want to find out more if you're a new listener, just go to the website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. If you use email, just write me direct, bob@truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. And I know a lot of people still like good old U.S. mail, snail mail, as they call it these days. And I'm just amazed at the number of people that write. And our address here in Georgia, real simple, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. And I know one of the listeners, you know, was concerned is that a secure box? Yes, it is very secure. In our tiny little community, trust me, there's nobody that even knows how to find it, you know, from the outside world. And yes, they are well locked, well secured, camera, everything. And, you know, and believe me, it's not a problem. No one's going to just come in this community and rip off the mailbox. Never has happened yet since 1971. So we just want you to know. It is a secure box, and so you can be safe in that knowledge. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
A wounded spirit. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, we live in a culture where few people take responsibility for their lives. Everybody's a victim. Victim of their parents, victim of society, victim of rejection, a victim of abuse, a victim of behavior they can't control. We live in a society of victims and lawsuits. Everybody's putting blame on the other. It even affects God's people. There are a lot of believers walking around carrying hurts and wounds and self-pity and blame. Nobody loves me. Nobody called me. They hurt me. They messed up my life. But God's word has something to say about that. Proverbs 18:14 reads, "A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit, who can bear?" When you walk around feeling sorry for yourself, dwelling on what people did to you, the rejections, the hurts, the wounds, the times you felt you were mistreated and abused, you're walking around with a wounded spirit. And the Bible says, a wounded spirit, who can bear? That means if you carry around a wounded spirit, your life is going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. You're not meant to go through life with a wounded spirit. It'll keep you from joy and peace and fulfillment. You have to stop going through life as a victim. You have to stop living according to how people treated you. Start living according to how God treated you. How about that? You're not a victim. How could you be? What people did, that's nothing. What God did through Messiah on Calvary, that is everything. So stop living as a victim. Start living as a victor. You know full well that in God, you're no victim. You're more than a conqueror. Want more? Ask for Wounded in the House of My Friends on CD. Now, what if you could receive daily vitamins guaranteed to strengthen your spiritual walk with God? A 6-month supply for free. You can. Sapphire's daily spiritual vitamins for victorious walk with God and updates on Israel and prophecy and the mystery of the temple doors on CD. You'll love it. All free. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. But dial now. Dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll love it, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio from the Arctic Circle to Israel. It's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the world. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the nice Jewish boy at box 1111 in Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's the nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend and Messiah. Yeshua Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of Truth to Ponder. Here we are on a Tuesday, second day of the week, and I'll be getting back to my guest in just a moment. Just wanted to take a moment once again to thank you for listening. And you know, it's really important sharing the program, letting others know about Truth to Ponder. It would help if more people could hear this program. I'm just one of many voices out there. I'm not the voice. I'm not going to be, you know, when you look at the evangelical world of the superstars of the past, the Charles Stanleys, you know, for one, I'd never see myself being in that kind of a league. I don't think I'm called to do that. What I am called to do is to try to dig through this world that we live in and share some honest truth with you. That's the best that I can do. I'm using means that a lot of others have long since abandoned. We're on shortwave. And I'm here for a reason. Not because I want to dominate a type of communication. I just recognize it's one of the least likely to be disturbed for quite a while going forward. The internet is always going to be a huge target, especially when so much of what we do on the internet is controlled by just a tiny number of corporations. I'll probably share a little something tomorrow on the program, maybe Thursday. There was a movie, and I mentioned it before, Network, came out in 1976. And this movie talked about the world as a corporation. It's not democracies. It's not this. It's not that. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's just a corporation. And the money you have is nothing but debt that you're using. Isn't this funny? This was a movie, and people laughed at it, considering it was a dark comedy of some kind. But I'm seeing a lot of truth in it already. And our money is nothing more. And remember, by the time this movie came out, we'd only been off the gold standard for, what, 5 years maybe? But, you know, it's just debt. And we're trading debt as a intermediary for barter. You know, I need meat from the grocery store, so I traded my labor to somebody else that gave me this barter called money. Now it's electronic, increasingly so, and I use that to buy something at the local grocery store. And then they use that money to buy other things. You know, it's just passing debt around. That's all our money is these days. We try to do this program each and every week to bring you information, things you may not find somewhere else. And I bring on guests that I think are helpful. There's some times that I'll tell you, we don't always agree. I mean, I've got a lot of guests that I bring on, and we're not lockstep 100%, but we're trying to do the best we can. Like I said yesterday, trying to sort through all the lies. The media is full of lies, in particular, the mainstream. They believe, just like Facebook and Twitter, they are the keepers of all knowledge, and you must believe and understand and regurgitate what we tell you, or we punish you, or we mock you, and some banks will disown you. You know, think of Andrew Torba with Gab. I mean, he's been thrown off of all kind of stuff because he's a free speech site. And if they don't like what he's saying, well, you know, we don't want you. It's a scary world that we're living in, isn't it? Over the weekend, my wife and I decided, we normally have other things that we do, but we decided because of the way things had gone, that we would check in on a church online. Sometimes when you're in the mountains, you can't get out. And so we did. And so, you know, I've seen others do Facebook Live during the pandemic and everything else. And so this church was doing it on Zoom. And I'm sorry that too many of what I felt it just wasn't right. It just didn't work for me, being on Zoom for what's supposed to be a church service. I couldn't see. You had a handful of people that are logged in like other participants. But the community aspect of being, quote, in church, being with fellow Christians was gone. We were detached. My guest today is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And Dr. Gales, in the first segment of the program, you made a very interesting point. I want you to pick up on it now. In the first segment, you said that human beings were created by God as social beings, not social media beings. Would you kind of pick up on that?
Well, it's not good for man to be alone. When I'm sitting in front of my computer and I've got 16 people on Zoom, am I alone?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am alone. I'm seeing through a lighted screen faces and I'm hearing voices, but I'm not with them. Not really. All the other aspects of our sense perceptions are not being activated, just my ears and my eyes. That is not human being. The human being is five senses, right? We have to utilize all of that in order to have social community. It's not good for man to be alone, we're told in Scripture. And that's not just the man and his wife, but actually they, the two, become one, which is even deeper spiritually, right? So there is the outward social aspect of the senses that we have with one another in each other's presence. And might I add, the face is very important to be seen.
Yes.
Because it's identity, it's individuality, it's uniqueness. All of those things are what the face represents. And that we have to have. So there we see that when you're on social media, I can see, I can hear, but all my other senses are not there. I can't pat you on the back. I can't touch you. I can't do a lot of things. I can't smell the cologne you're wearing or not wearing. I can't, you know, there's a lot of aspects of humanity that are lost. It's almost like, hey, I want to go on a trip to, you know, to the Middle East, maybe to Arabia and ride a camel. So I'm going to go rent a DVD at the library and watch it. Did I go on the trip?
No.
I didn't ride the camel. I didn't smell the camel. I didn't feel the camel. I don't know what it's like in the Middle East, the air, the quality, nothing. So all those things are lost. I can't say I went there.
No.
So this is what we're doing with social media. We're losing our social life. Imagine that. We think we're gaining it because they term it social media. This is a con. It's a deception.
Hey, you're getting an edited version of the world around us, too.
Isn't that interesting? We can be edited. I want you to keep that in mind. We can be edited. You know, here's something that we live in a big psychosis. A mass delusional psychosis right now. There was a nice article in Lou Rockwell about that. And you know who I love? Candace Owens. I love her. You want to know what she said? She said this, and you tell me if you agree with it. She goes, it's pretty incredible to consider that right now governments are like, in order to keep you safe, we need to impoverish you, imprison you, enforce masks, and vaccinate you, plus separate you and your family. And there are like millions of people out there that are just like, okay, she's totally correct. We're just taking it. So we live in this mass delusional psychosis, and we're being separated through this social distancing, social media. So how do you call distancing social? You know, how do you call media social?
Well, you can't, because, you know, look, media is primarily designed, always has been, as a one-way medium. You know, it is from the producers to the end user or consumer. And that's what really media is all about. There are the rare exception being like what we're doing right here. Yeah, we are producing for you to be the end user, but we're not trying to do it in a commercial way. Does that ring with you what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely.
In other words, I didn't start this program, Truth to Ponder, as a get-rich-quick scheme or a part of my retirement. That's not, trust me, I don't need to be doing this. I'm not wealthy, but God is more than taking care of my need. And I could really, at this point in my life, I could spend more time in Florida in the wintertime, and up here in the mountains in the summertime, enjoying an occasional fire in the fireplace and the company of my beloved wife and my two little dogs, and say I've had enough of the working world and all the troubles that are in it. But God laid on my heart way back in before the summer that I needed to consider doing this for a season. That season may be a month, it could be a year, who knows? Until Jesus comes, I don't know. It's not my call. But you're right, Tim. This whole thing about social media, I found myself, and I want you to address this. There was a time, you know, and I'm not going to get into the personal details. They're immaterial. But there was a time of change in my life not that many years ago. We're talking about 6-7 years ago. I didn't know much about social media except what little I did in the job that I had at the time. Working, I've been a broadcaster, I've been in ministry, but after my first wife had passed away, I got away from a lot of that, and I had ended up in a very unusual job in emergency management and media, And I started playing for the first time with things like the Twitters and the Facebooks that were just beginning to get traction in those days. You remember those, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm out there making, you know, feeds, and I'm helping a sheriff's office, an emergency management office, and I'm working with economic development. Everybody wanted to hop on the bandwagon. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. I wasn't impressed by it. But about 6-7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I had moved back to Florida. And I was just at a very low ebb in my life. And I'm sitting at my little place in Florida one night, and the TV was just boring. And I picked up my phone, and I had that in there, and I started looking for the first time and started typing in a few names of people I hadn't contacted or thought about in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, whatever, and found a handful, and we started conversing. And the next thing you know, you get very addicted to social media. I mean, it is very addictive, especially when early on, now remember, this is the trickery about social media. Early on, you know, it was like the open forum. It was just a wonderful place to meet old family and friends you hadn't talked to in ages. And no, let them know what you had for breakfast this morning with a nice picture of two eggs and bacon and your toast, right, and grits and all that. I mean, this is what it was. And it was, and when you think about it, 6 years ago, it was incredibly tame. How often did you see nasty stuff on social media 6 years ago?
Right, not often. People were just getting used to it.
Unless you had friends that were just nasty by nature,
yeah, or bullies, or young kids.
Yeah.
But ultimately, no. You were kind of getting used to it. You were learning things, and that's really what I look at it as something like an encyclopedia. But you got to weed through some of the strange stuff. But I mean, it's like an encyclopedia in many ways. Of course, that's being censored now. But social, that word social that we see for social distancing, social media, that word is being used in a different sense, and
yes,
most people don't know it. They're being deceived by it. It's called conditioning. So that's why I call it social conditioning.
And now, hold that thought on social. I want you to come right back to it, because I want to just add this little thought, and I think you'll catch on what I mean. Working like I did, I'm going to go back to March and April of last year. We were in a large agency, and you know, we're getting our mandates coming down from the state level and the federal level, and there was this one person, really nice guy, I really think the world of him. I mean, I had some really great people that I worked with that really meant well, and he was just he had this problem with the word social distancing, and he didn't like it. You know, he said Bob, and he was saying this to some other people. He said, there's just something sinister about this word, social distancing. It's like we're supposed to be, you know, putting ourselves in divided camps. This group over here, that group over there. He said, why can't it be, you know, safety distancing or anything but social? He was trying to find another name we could substitute, because he just felt that there was something nefarious, is his words. Little did he know. Remember, this is early on. He said, would they choose the term social distancing? It's like we have to learn to distrust everybody.
Yes. And that's the point. It is a social conditioning. They're going to use that word to then tell you, just like we have essential, non-essential businesses, there will be essential, non-essential people.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to be socially distanced from them.
Yes.
And that will also fall into, guess what? The social credit system.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's funny. You and I have talked about this before. Over the weekend, I've had four different people, one that I really have gotten to know quite well, have all sent me the same question. You need to talk about the social credit system that's in China, that's making its way to us today. I'm sure we're not going to finish it today. We're going to pick that up tomorrow with some other stuff. But let's talk about social credit system and what it may or may not mean to you.
Well, like we just said, it's linked, right? It's all linked. So the social conditioning and the social credit system are going to be part of the same thing. Just like you have Freud and you have a behavior modification and then reinforcing the modification. Right now I have social distancing and I'm going to reinforce that with a social credit system. Not only are you going to social distance from everybody at least 6 feet because of the virus, now you're going to social distance from conservatives, Christians, people who hold different political views, others, and you're going to do that or I'm going to drop your credit. And so I'm now enforcing, I'm conditioning you to see people not only as a virus, but also as harmful to your very way of life, to your very access to privileged things that used to be free and free to roam around. Now people are going to hinder you. So this is the inversion of God's created order in triplicates.
Yes.
And we're gonna cast people aside. We are creating, well, they're creating, but we're going to create it, a caste system. We're going to create a caste system.
Which comes out of a pagan religion of Hinduism.
It's going to be the untouchables, those you don't go near, those you don't want AI to know that you were even within 100 feet of. You remember that phrase, I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole? Well, that's going to be reality now. I wouldn't.
Well, we've started with 6 foot. Now we're going to move it a little farther out.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, that doesn't matter. Listen, ultimately, if you're in a room with an aerosolized virus, there is no distance that matters.
No, not at all.
There is none of it's effective.
And if you're outside wearing a mask, walking down the street by yourself with a dog with a mask on, you know, you have been made, you have bought and drank the gallons of Kool-Aid.
Gallons
of it.
So that's where we're at. Social is huge. And what I tell people right now, don't lose your humanity.
Look, you know, I'm going to share. You've seen it. I know I live in two different areas, so we've seen it in both ways. But go down to some places like a Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'm not picking on a Fort Lauderdale. I'm not picking even on a Long Island in New York. But you've got this incredible division of people. You see it really in New York. You see it in where the New Yorkers go to Fort Lauderdale. No offense. I am from New York. So before you say, what are you throwing off on New Yorkers? You'll get some guy, probably 70 years of age, retired, you know, from, you know, Queens, New York, now living in his condominium, you know, where they have shuffleboard courts and whatever in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere near there. And he's in his, you know, he's got his floral, you know, shorts on and a shirt that's full of flowers. And he's got his face mask on. And if he sees somebody not wearing one, he becomes the instant Karen. And he's running around, you know, put your mask on, put your mask on. You're going to kill us. You're going to kill us. You know, they go ballistic.
Right.
They go ballistic. Why? Why are they so ballistic?
Because they see as a virus, right? And their potential death. And that's what we're being conditioned to think. No different, as I've said before, than the Jews, right? In Nazi Germany. It's the same ideology, comes from the same pit of hell. But what they did is they said the Jews were diseased. They were diseased people. Well, guess what we're now considered if you don't abide by these rules? And especially if you don't take the shot. You will be the diseased, the ones who won't allow us to reach herd immunity, and the people, your neighbors, just like in Nazi Germany, will rise up against you, turn you in, put you in a camp, whatever. And I can tell you right now, those camps, FEMA, whatever you want to call them, are going to be death camps. And I hate to be sounding alarmist, but everything I've read from these people's own words, they're depopulating, and that's what they will be.
There's no doubt that's the design. There is no doubt that is the design. Yes.
Well, they say
now,
it, right?
Do we willingly submit to it? There's the question.
Well, first of all, like we had said before, right? You got to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's probably what we're doing here on the show. Truth
Absolutely.
To ponder. We're given truth and we're going to keep speaking it and people can ponder what we're saying. Agree or don't agree.
Absolutely.
But I can tell you now, we're going to back up what we're telling you. We're going to back it up.
There's a lot of information out there, a tremendous amount true, a lot of it founded in truth. Maybe we don't have the details right. The point is, this is the safe thing anybody can say. The Antichrist is out to kill and destroy.
Yep.
What people saw in the 1930s, and there's some pictures that just are heartbreaking, of like a Jewish woman in, literally in her underwear being chased down the streets by young people throwing rocks and yelling and spitting and laughing and mocking her as they're torturing her, literally running down the street, because the government had convinced her, the people, that these people were sickly and they will make you sick and they will steal your money, they will damage your children. You know, yeah, it goes on and on and on. They're socially unacceptable.
Yes, and that's what's coming. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming. And for you, so there's a cost. What did Jesus say? You know, he said, take up the cross and follow me. Take it up daily. You know, the cross is an instrument of suffering and pain. And the church will go through suffering before it comes to the resurrection. And, you know, you inherit the kingdom through much tribulation, he said. And in the world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. We're not guaranteed an easy, happy life, folks. We are guaranteed eternal life when we have Christ. But I can tell you this, in this world, we've been pampered in this country. And we are about to go through seriously and psychologically hard times. But remember this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
What a perfect place to stop for the moment, Dr. Gales. And we'll pick this conversation up tomorrow on the Wednesday broadcast of Truth to Ponder. I hope many of you can be with us. The best way to describe this program is we are trying to get through the noise of this world, and the lies that are being told over and over and over again by the media. I really feel sorry for those that actually put on CNN and believe everything that's coming out of these people's mouths, when it's so provable how frequently they willingly will lie to you. They really believe that they're doing God service, or what they consider their God, whatever their God may be. Certainly not the God of the scriptures anymore. And that's probably reflected in some of the churches that are out there today that have also just walked away from the faith, reinvented the Word of God to suit themselves. God, you can't tell me what to do. We took a vote, and our church body said, we don't believe this anymore. Instead, we want you to accept this, because this is how we're going to be. Now we're going to get back to our version of worshiping ourselves. That's what many churches have become. It's hard finding truth. That's kind of the theme of this week. Finding truth in a world full of lies. And how do you find hope? Well, there's only one hope out there, and that is found in Jesus Christ. It's not in a politician. It's not in a vaccine. It's not in a Dr. Fauci. It's not in CNN. It's nowhere in the world. Church, you got to begin to realize you are in this world, but you are not of it. Stop being of the world. I see too many people running around in fear. I love my Lord. I'm just so afraid of the virus. So I'm just going to stay home now. I'm not going to do anything because, you know, the virus might get me. Wonder if St. Paul would have stayed somewhere. Well, I heard there's a virus in Thessalonica. Can't go. Maybe we need to, you know, start standing on those promises of Christ our King. Next week, I'm going to have this program we're going to get into understanding what true fellowship is all about, and it's not going to some cult place. If you believe in the ministry and you want to support it, maybe you can mail a check to Ancient Word Radio at 21 Berkshire Lane at number 263. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. We are in Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2andtheWordPonder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.